Two reading from Scripture this morning. The first from 1 Corinthians 16, verses 5 to 10. That's found in our Pew Bibles, page 1792. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5 to 10. Paul is writing from the city of Ephesus, and we'll be talking about that during the sermon. And he's writing from Ephesus to the church in Corinth. And this is what he says. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. A great door for effective work. That's one of the topics of our message this morning. And our second reading is found in Acts 19, back in Acts 19, verse 8 to 12. And in Acts 19, we have the story of what was actually happening in Ephesus, the place where Paul wrote to the Corinthian church saying that he experienced an open door. And we won't read the whole chapter. Let's just read those verses 8 to 12. Paul entered the synagogue in Ephesus. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. And we'll pick up that story during the message as we go along. May God bless the reading of his holy word to our hearts and to our lives. The message that I'm bringing could be called the tale of two cities. The two cities of Ephesus and Corinth. Paul is writing from Ephesus, a large Roman port city about 250 miles from Corinth, that other large Roman city across the Aegean Sea. And Paul writes and he said, "My ministry here in Ephesus is like a wide open door. A door has opened wide for me," he says in 1 Corinthians. And then he adds, "There are also many people who oppose me." So that's the theme that we're going to be talking about this morning. Open doors and obstacles. Open doors and opposition. We find the story of that open door and opposition in Acts 19. And we've just read part of that story. Paul, each day, taught in the lecture hall of Tyrannus, we read. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in Asia Minor heard the word of the Lord. What an extraordinary open door the Apostle Paul encountered as he ministered in that lecture hall of Tyrannus. Biblical scholars tell us that that lecture hall was kind of like a university. And it seems that the Apostle Paul turned it not only into a sort of seminary or Bible school, a place where the gospel could be heard and could be understood and could be studied, but even more than that, it became a mission sending center because, as we read, after 2 years, all the Jews and Greeks in that whole area around Ephesus had heard the word of the Lord. What an extraordinary, wide open door for the gospel. It's a kind of missionary dream, you know, that after 2 years you can say, everyone in this pagan land who had never heard the name of Jesus Christ now knows about Jesus, even though maybe everyone had not turned to Christ. As we continue reading in Acts 19, we can appreciate some of the other open doors that God provided. In verse 11, we read that God did amazing miracles through Paul. The sick were healed. Evil spirits were cast out. What unforgettable experiences for those young Christians who had just heard the name of Jesus and who had responded and were now seeing the might and the power of Jesus at work in healing and casting out evil spirits. Something else unforgettable happened in Ephesus. We read in verse 18 and 19 that many who believed came and openly admitted what they had done wrong. Those who had practiced evil magic brought their scrolls together. They set them on fire out in the open, verse 19. The value of the scrolls was 50,000 pieces of silver. The word of God spread everywhere. It became more and more powerful. I'm reading in a little different translation than the one you have. The word of God became more and more powerful. Not only did many Ephesians turn from paganism to the faith, but they showed an extraordinary maturity in Christ by rejecting their former pagan practices. They gathered their scrolls and burned them publicly. The total value of all those scrolls and those idols and all the relics was 50,000 pieces of silver. That's the equivalent of a few million dollars in today's currency. Can you imagine the public testimony when that pile of revered and sacred scrolls and idols and relics all went up in flames? What an event that must have been to the glory of God. Indeed, the Apostle Paul found an extraordinary open door in the city of Ephesus. But as we read, Paul also speaks of another aspect of his ministry. A door has opened wide for me here in Ephesus, but there is much opposition. Indeed, the Apostle Paul and his team met a considerable opposition. Acts 19, verse 9 says, certain people in Ephesus refused to believe in public. They said evil things about Jesus. Imagine that you would be a young Christian just having come to Christ, and then you heard your friends, your acquaintances, perhaps family members, saying evil things about Jesus, opposition to the faith. That wasn't easy for those young Christians, and being to be mocked and scorned and perhaps Some were even tempted to hide their faith or perhaps even renounce the faith. Paul encountered other obstacles as well. There's a strange story that is told a little later in Acts 19, and we don't have time to get into it. Kind of a strange story of people who recognized that Jesus' name had power, and so they tried to use Jesus' name to make money without confessing their faith in Christ. And as you know from that story, it didn't turn out too well for them. But most of the opposition in Ephesus came from a silversmith whose name was Demetrius. You remember the story of Demetrius. He ran a flourishing business making silver idols. As people turned to Christ, they abandoned their traditional religion and their idols. Demetrius saw a decline in his business, and he was not happy. One day, Demetrius, who was quite an entrepreneurial fellow, gathered his fellow idol makers and told them, and now I'm reading in a translation, perhaps it's not your translation, verse 26 of Acts 19. Demetrius talking to his fellow idol makers, and he says, "You know that we make good money from our work. And you have heard and seen what this fellow Paul is doing. This Paul has led people away from our gods. He says that the gods we make are not gods at all." Now, we know that this is the Apostle Luke who is actually writing the words of Acts, and I detect a little bit of irony there. Maybe as Luke was recounting this event, he was thinking of Psalm 135, verse 16, that says, "These idols have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear." And here's Demetrius saying, the idols that we make, Paul is saying that they're not really gods at all. Demetrius got desperate. What could he do? He organized a demonstration. He manipulated the crowd against Paul. The crowd became very violent. And fortunately, the city clerk could calm things down so that no lives were lost. But what happened then? We read in Acts 20, verse 1, "After the trouble came to an end, Paul said goodbye to the believers and left for Macedonia." Who do you think that made happy? Demetrius. He thought with his friends that they had won, that they had achieved their goal of getting rid of Paul. And maybe at that point, some of those young Christians in Ephesus were wondering, why did God permit Demetrius to chase Paul away? We need him so much right here in Ephesus. But as we know from the epistle to the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus went on to thrive and to grow in God's grace. What happened in Ephesus reminds me of a story told by a good friend who is now well into her 90s. She is a medical doctor who used to work and teach at the Montreal General Hospital, and so that's where we got to know each other. When she was a child, her parents were missionaries in China before the time of communism. Then the communist regime made all the missionaries leave. And she remembers as a young girl walking the gangplank to go up to the ship that was taking them out. They're being deported, holding the hands of her parents. And she remembers the tears of her parents and all of their colleagues, many Presbyterian missionaries who had built schools, hospitals, churches. And the question that they were asking, has China become a closed door to the gospel? Has God abandoned China? What can be the future of the gospel in this country from which we are being deported? Well, today we know that China stayed an open door to the gospel despite opposition. And today the church continues to grow there at astonishing rates that we can only imagine. In fact, church growth in China is one of the greatest missionary stories of all times. For today, there are young Chinese Christians who are being sent as missionaries to many other places. The mission movement coming from China is something which also gives great glory to God and astonishes us. What a contrast between the open door of the gospel and the obstacles it has always faced in places like Ephesus and China and throughout world history. And that should not surprise us. Open doors and opposition, because that's the story of Jesus who came to earth to open wide the door of salvation to all the nations. But Jesus, as we know, faced many obstacles, including the obstacle of the closed heart of his own people. As the gospel, as the apostle John writes, he came to his own people, but his own people did not accept him. But that opposition was not strong enough to close the door of salvation. Today, there are many Christians living in countries that are hostile to the Christian faith. We could call them closed door countries. Several years ago, a young child named Husman was born in a devout Muslim family in the West Africa country of Guinea. Husman was very intelligent, and his family decided that he should become a Muslim imam, a Muslim priest. But during his studies, he became a Christian. He was rejected by his family, but stayed firm in the faith. And today, Husman has become a respected Christian leader in his community. We became friends during my travels to Guinea, and what a privilege to get to know him. He often quotes John 1, verse 10 to 13, when he gives his own testimony. Jesus' own people did not accept him, but some believed in him. And to those who believed, he gave the right, the privilege to become sons of God. And then Husman speaks with great feeling of the privilege he has received to be given the right to become a child of God. God continues to show his power by unlocking the door of closed hearts to his love and salvation, even as he did in Ephesus in China, and continues to do today in the face of many obstacles, much opposition. Let's go back to Paul's experience now in Ephesus. As we've seen, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians from Ephesus, he was experiencing severe opposition. Think about Demetrius. Kind of a tense time. Imagine that you were in Paul's missionary team. What would you have written back home? I think if I would have been on the team and I would have written back home, maybe I would have tempted to write a letter like this. Dear friends back at home, I'm writing you from Ephesus. We're being persecuted here. Many people oppose us. Pray that God would protect us. Your brother Harold. Maybe I would have written a letter like that. But that's not what Paul wrote. He doesn't draw attention to all the reasons he may have had to experience fear, anxiety. Paul focuses on the open doors to the gospel that he has found in Ephesus. Hearts are opening to the gospel. New disciples are being grounded in the faith. A door has opened wide despite the opposition. Why did Paul focus on the open doors for gospel ministry? One reason, I believe, is that he could never forget the time when his own heart was like a locked door, closed to the gospel, barricaded against God's will and God's love. And then that closed door was broken open on the road to Damascus. It was unlocked by the love and power of the risen Christ. And from that personal experience, Paul knew of Christ's power to open and break down any force that rose up against the gospel. When Paul was in Ephesus, and everywhere he went, even when he faced the greatest difficulties, and he faced many great difficulties, he knew that that day was a day of open doors, a day to receive Christ's love, and a day to share Christ's love with others. And that has been our privilege, to experience our own hearts unlocked to God's love, something we couldn't even do ourselves, but the Holy Spirit does it by His grace. And when our hearts are open to receive God's love, we see the world and world history in a new light. The world is more than a place where some good things and lots of bad things happen. Of course, the world is full of disappointment, anxiety, fear, hatred, and even despair. And we feel those forces tugging at our hearts constantly. But in Jesus, we know that this is a world, that the world and age in which we are living is a place where God is alive and at work, a place where God has opened our hearts to His love. And even though that experience may not have been as spectacular as Paul's on the road to Damascus, it is nonetheless real. And as God continues to open our hearts to His love, He opens our hearts to those around us. In Christ, like Paul, we see the world as a place of Christ's great mission, where we can share His gospel and His love with those around us and with people in far-off places like Ephesus, China, and Guinea. Our human heart gets so easily closed in on its own preoccupations, its own anxieties, and even its own regrets. We need God's Spirit to open our hearts more than anything else to God's love, hope, and vision. And then with open hearts, we can also show God's love to others. Take a moment to think of someone to whom you can open your heart in the coming days. Who is God placing in your life to be loved through your open heart? And then think of some far-off place, a mission effort that you can support through your continued prayer and financial generosity, even as you have supported so faithfully Elsbeth and myself over these past decades. How small we can feel when we are called to be ambassadors of Christ's love. But Jesus knows our limitations and shortcomings, and that for that reason, he leaves us with a promise in Revelation 3, verse 9. In Revelation 3, 9, Jesus says, "Look, I have left an open door before you. No one can shut it." It's the open door of God's love. It's the open door of the gospel. And then Jesus adds, "I know that you do not have much strength." Indeed, we have little strength in ourselves. We don't even have the strength to open our own hearts to God's grace and to his gospel. And certainly, we don't have the strength to open the hearts of others to the gospel. But Jesus' promise is founded on his strength and power. And that's why this text can give us so much confidence and joy as we hear our Lord say to us, "I have put an open door before you. No one can shut it." It's the wide open door of Christ's great love for you and me and for the whole world. May your heart always stay open to his love and to his great mission to show that love to others through the weak people that we will always be. Thanks be to God for those open doors. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you opened your heart to us and that you did not spare the price even of your own Son, and so that we may open our hearts to you and be ambassadors of your love and grace in the world. Thank you for your faithfulness. Continue your good work in our lives and make us faithful instruments of your grace and gospel to those we meet and to the world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.